The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
This is Devin Leary.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how mentally ill are you, Devin?
You know, I hate to be a broken record week to week, but I am certain next week will be at least a little bit out of the darkness. Currently, no.
Out of the Darkness is an alternate podcast title from True Romance.
Out of the darkness and into the
light.
Out of
the darkness. Hi, this is Out of the Darkness. I'm Carolina Barlow.
Meanwhile, it's like, these are the choices I make. It's like, okay, I spent an entire night staying up till 2 a.m. watching Quiet on Set, like the darkest documentary
that is
of all time.
Insane.
I went out to dinner with a friend and she was talking about it. And I said, I was like, oh my God, I really want to watch that, but I have to wait until I am in like the right mindset for that. And like right now is just not it. And what did I do? Cut to a mere few days later. It was like already late at night. I was like feeling kind of sick and I was like really tired. And I was like, you know what? This is what could be darker than what I'm going through right now? And I turn it on. I'm like, ew. You know what?
Amanda though? Bynes doing stand-up comedy at the age of 6.
Did you watch it? Like,
no, I watched clips of it though.
Okay, so the Amanda stuff is so awful. It's like, wait, that was such a shining. It's also funny, like everyone has a different thing about it. My one friend was like, well, it's so weird to watch because I was in love with Drake Bell as a kid. And my other friend was like, it's so weird to watch because I thought that I should be on All That as a kid. And I remember being like jealous of Amanda being pretty. That's like my connection is being like, oh, well, her life's perfect because she doesn't need a nose job, does she? And it's like, meanwhile, she's like, it's like the most sinister thing I can possibly imagine. I'm also like, this is disturbing. Why were like, I so know what they mean. There's this whole thing about like the adult jokes that they put in.
Right.
And I'm like, I so remember that kind of, but I'm like, what? What is wrong with people? Also, I think, no, I wanted to say one thing that I thought was funny in the documentary, but now I'm like, why would I do that? It's like the worst, darkest thing.
Oh, hear me out. There's actually some good jokes in there.
I do just want to say one thing, which is that, well, tell me if you think we should cut this out. But like Drake Bell's dad was talking about how he was like very suspicious of this guy on set. And when he went to someone at Nickelodeon, they were like, well, it's probably because you're homophobic. And the dad's like, so I thought, oh yeah, okay. And then I just didn't bring it up. I'm like, so
no,
you were
we
like,
should definitely keep that in.
So you were like, yeah, well, I am homophobic.
So
you got me there. So I'm probably gonna, yeah, that is certainly. It's like what Kevin Spacey was thinking when he used his defense for the horrible like abuse and violence he's guilty of and was like, so world, I'm actually gay. He thought everyone would be like, oh, and we're homophobic. So that, you know what? Like, but I don't even know what he thought. Or maybe he thought people would be like, oh, like, I feel bad for you that, okay.
That you've been closeted for so long?
Yeah, but no. But no, you know what? I actually don't feel bad for him.
To go back to the Amanda Bynes of it all, I think it's so crazy how much, in retrospect, how manic her comedy was.
Yes.
Like, she was just shouting all the time.
Yes.
And she was just a little kid. And I remember as a kid,
energy.
She had so much energy. She was like,
it's like Jim Carrey stuff.
100%. She was basically doing Jim Carrey in the mask like every day on all that. I remember too, just thinking she was hysterical, but it's so weird. The clips of her saying hi to that creepy guy, Dan Schneider, where she's like, hi, it's so good to see you. Like, she's such a mini adult.
Yeah.
It's really dark. I mean, I remember, I feel like everyone had like an Amanda Bynes sighting after she lost her mind in New York.
You know, and Beth and I did.
Yeah. And I'm like, shame on her parents for getting her into the entertainment industry and like treating her like a cash cow.
I know. The parents are really like to blame for all of this. And like, there's a couple parents in the documentary that I do feel like bad for, because it seems like they've learned their lesson and now they feel like really guilty. But I'm just like, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's a great question. What's going on here?
Because like, I mean, I guess there's an argument to be made that it's like they didn't know better than the way that people do now. I don't know. But they should, like, when they describe it where they're like, well, we were working 16-hour days as children. You're like, well, I guess you should have known better, because that literally was part of like the Industrial Revolution to like not have children working anymore. So
yeah, that's rough stuff.
Have you heard of the Industrial Revolution, everyone at Nickelodeon? Because we're not supposed to be using children for their tiny fingers in the factory anymore.
Yeah, that's, slime, that's slime on your face. Green slime on your face. God, I love that show.
You're not up on the Industrial Revolution. Well, green slime on you.
I think I lied and said that I was on like the slime, like what was their slime Jeopardy show that they did? Anyway, I think I lied as a kid.
Double Dare or something?
Double Dare, yeah. I think I lied and said I was on it and told people who like absolutely would have known that I was not on it. And
oh my God.
I just stuck with the lie. I was just one of those kids. I was like, yes, I did. And they were like, what were your talents? And I was like, I can flip upside down in a pool.
Have you seen the Joel Castle Baker TikToks where he's like lying for no reason and he's like pointing at the ground? He's like, so this is broken corn and it's actually a result of the automobile traffic industry. So that's what happens, is broken corn, and it's up and then it's broken. So it's so funny.
Yeah, that was me from like the age of 6 to the age of 21. I simply don't understand my former life. I remember how I had a boyfriend who was like, I don't know you, when I would tell him stories about myself, like from the ages of like 21 and below. He was like, who are you? And I was like, yeah, that's just, I was a mythical creature full of lies and deceit.
What does your therapist think the lying came from?
That's such a good question. I think I was just like an attention seeker. I mean, we haven't really talked about it. Oh, I did have a therapist when I was like 19 and I was like, I lie sometimes. And she was like, yeah, well, people can probably tell. And I remember being like, oh my God, people can probably tell.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Yeah, sometimes they'll cut you to the core.
Those therapists.
Those gals.
My friend just started seeing my trauma therapist and I was so psycho about it. I was like, how is she? What was your session like? Yeah, and everything time she was like, well, I can't tell like what her politics are. I was like, I'm sure she's a liberal.
I know.
I was like, I truly just get, I act like they're my like other mothers.
That's where it gets scary, when you're like wondering, like when you get close to knowing the truth about a therapist. Like, I don't really want to know.
I'm sure they're good.
Look at my kitty's paws. They're so cute. He's putting his paws on my face.
I love that. I was no, just you on actually Hinge. Hate it.
Don't lie.
I do love it. I think your cats are cute.
Thanks.
I was on Hinge and a guy's about me was that he said I probably won't care about your dog.
That's psych. That person.
That man is
guilty of everything, treason and beyond. That man is guilty of the worst crimes you can imagine. I one time was like out at a party and talking to this guy and he said he had a dog. And I said, oh, can I see a picture? And the amount of time it took him to find a photo in his phone, I said, wow. You're a sociopath. You're a sociopath.
That is absolutely crazy.
I said, get your wife on the phone. He's a sociopath. He's a sociopath.
Leave him. Leave that man.
Leave that man. Leave that man. Leave that man.
Another alternate title for our podcast could have been Leave That Man.
Oh, look at my little baby kitty. I'm not going to leave that man. It could also be, oh, look at my little baby kitty.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be a co-host on that one. But, oh, look at my little baby kitty.
With Carolina hosted by Rose Devin Barlow. Leary. Okay. Well, you know what? Who even cares? Who even gives a flying fuck about all this garbage that we just said? And just kidding. Aside from Quiet On Set and the victims involved. But let's move on to.
Yeah. Okay. But we do think that you guys probably care about Quiet On Set.
Yeah. Quiet On Set is serious. And then let's move on to also serious. The Valley.
Oh.
Now, the newest episode made me say, Bravo needs this. Let me say also the same dinner with my friend who was like, you have to watch Quiet On Set. They also told me, you have to watch Potomac this season. I said, I haven't been watching it all. They said, A Marriage Dissipates. I said, I'll have it on tonight.
Wait, what marriage?
Mia and.
Gordon.
G or whatever. Yeah.
Gordon. Yeah.
So I have been watching it now. But other than that, like Bravo hasn't been giving much until The Valley.
The Valley also has crazy ratings. It was like one of their biggest premieres ever. And to say that I'm grateful for that would be an understatement because, you know, being a fear-based person after watching episode one of The Valley, my immediate fear was, will this ever be taken away from me?
How long is this going to last? How long is this going to last?
How long will this good feeling last?
Don't even mess with me. Is this going to last? Like, do not even mess with my heart right now.
And it's thank so God Jax is like one of the darkest and best reality TV stars of like all time. He's just a true star. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say like maybe darker than Jax is now. Please forgive me that these names are not.
Oh, no, I know
of
them all. Are you thinking Jesse, Michelle's husband?
Yes, yes. When he was like, so you got the takeout 30 minutes before. Well, why didn't you think about that?
Yeah, no, he is an evil, evil man. And
like yelling at the daughter for not knowing how to ride the bike.
I mean, no, horrible, horrible person.
Like
I mean,
trauma is forming before our eyes.
I just watched a sneak peek of next week's episode, which you can watch on Instagram on the Bravo by Gaze account. There's an episode in the next week's episode, him and Michelle are talking about drama in front of their daughter and saying fuck like on every other word. And even their daughter at one point goes, fuck, fuck, fuck. And I'm like,
and they're like, how did she learn that?
She goes like, you say it all the time. She says you need to calm down to her dad. And you're like, that is a child.
Imagine this like. You know, when speaking of trauma therapy, when you're in EMDR and it's like, all right, where do you first or even regular therapy, like your therapist will be like, when do you first remember feeling this feeling? And I'm like literally like punching my head being like, when do I first remember feeling useless, worthless? When do I first remember feeling not deserving of love? Go in there. Where was it? And like, imagine being able to just turn on BravoTV.com and like find a clip and be like, oh, it was then. And I see there.
Yes.
And I don't even have to visualize an EMDR because actually I'm watching it.
I want true romance.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, can you imagine just watching Bravo with a therapist? Are you friends with anyone who's a therapist? I would love to be friends with a therapist.
I actually am, and it's much to her chagrin, because also, like my friend who's a doctor, I'm constantly like sending a voice note being like, hey, so do you think this is a symptom of either PMDD or OCD, and do you think what I should do about it? And like every once in a while she'll be like, I don't feel ethically able to like respond to that because I'm not like actually your doctor. I'm like, so this dosage of Lexapro, should I just stop taking it? And she's like, that's really not for me.
So she's a bitch.
So she's like so close-minded is the thing. No, I love being friends with a therapist also because I will ask her to like diagnose like Bravo people. Like I'm like, what do you think this person has? And again, often she'll be like, I can't really say, but I would say someone who does something like this could have borderline or whatever.
I would say a lot of the stars of Vanderpump. I would say Kristen Doughty, I think, is borderline. Jax is probably a clinical narcissist.
I agree.
I'm just very excited, unfortunately, to watch Brittany and Jax's marriage fall apart this season.
Even though I know absolutely for a fact that it's going to be fake, I can't wait to watch it.
Oh,
also.
Oh, really? I can't. I hope.
I think it's going to be fake because I really do think because it's
suspiciously timed.
Suspiciously timed, and they like just opened a bar, which is like obviously, as we've seen in every single other show, a bad choice.
I can't believe.
Financially?
I mean, Lindsay Hubbs, thank you for calling it out and telling Carl no to the sober sports bar. One of the worst ideas I've ever heard.
Being like, there's actually like almost no way to make money. I always think that every place I go in New York City, I'm like, how is this in existence? Like, how is this happening?
Where even Lisa Vanderpump has to close restaurants. Okay.
And then she opens, and you know, she closes one and she opens another with Wolf Tahoe, which I obviously want to go to so badly. But like, how does she even have the money to be like filming with live wolves for a photo shoot? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if like there. Can't you see Ken in prison someday towards the end of his life? Like having like a Tom Girardi scandal?
I don't think he knows the difference between being at Villa Rosa or in prison at this point. Like, I don't think he's of mind to know.
It's the like, quiet onset, all. The Ken Todd story.
It's like quiet onset, quiet in his brain.
He's 80 years old. Like, the man is like 80.
The man is 80, but like a lot of people are 80.
You're right. A lot of our listeners are 80.
It's like with Biden, I'm like, Biden is like actually not that old to be that like gone in the head.
I know.
Like, okay, sorry. And by the way, if any of our threateners in other countries are listening to this and it makes you think, oh, the U.S. is vulnerable. Oh, let me like prey on the U.S. Well, that is so cowardly to prey on a country that obviously is not doing well. So why don't you pick on someone your own size who has a person who has a mind and a working brain?
I love us calling out like potential like warlords.
What I just called our threateners. If any of our threateners, which our
threateners is a great Russia, idea for a TV show. It's like traitors.
Our threateners, Russia.
Our threateners.
Who else Russia? Is threatening? Like, the sad thing is, I don't even know who else is threatening. Like, who else I is don't even know. Like, who is threatening? Listen, listeners, if you know who's threatening, like, just send us a DM. And also, if you know anything about PMDD, please, like, tell us. Okay, first of all, what do we do about the threateners to the United States security? And number two, what do we do about PMDD?
Because another threat.
It's a threat. I'm a threat because of it. I'm a threatener. I'm actually a threatener. Okay, so this week on The Valley, it was a classic setup, which I love on a Bravo show, oft used on Vanderpump Rules, where it's a boys' night and a girls' night at the same time.
Yes.
I love that. Where the boys are going to... Okay, so this is interesting. So Jax has gone out to lunch with Kristen, and they had, I guess, what two complete sociopaths would think is like a heart-to-heart. Yes. About like the fact that she wants her boyfriend to be accepted. She is making the right decision by like wanting to get pregnant by him, even though she like sort of just started dating him, whatever. And it's brought up that Jax, I don't know if it was like he was friends with Kristen's ex-boyfriend before she even dated him, or like she brought him into the friend group. And now I know he's in the friend group because he's like in the background of Ariana's pictures backstage at Chicago. Like, I think he's like deeply ingrained. And Kristen has one story about how they broke up. At classic Kristen, her story is like very dramatic and he was so awful to her. And then he has a story. His is also very dramatic and she was so awful to him. We don't know the truth because the person who's trying to be the truth teller is Jax. And obviously it's like there's no way to know like what's actually going on here.
Very much like myself at, again, the age of 21 and under, Jax is like an admitted liar. He's like, I don't know why I lie.
Yeah, it's true.
But he's like a 38-year-old man.
And Kristen, too. And we don't know this other man. But anyway, like, I feel like every picture I saw of the other man, like the last man Kristen dated, every picture I saw, he was wearing like an adult onesie. I'm not kidding. Like, they were always like dressed in like animal onesies, like staying home, watching TV, like peace sign. I'm like, okay, I don't like this energy of adults to be wearing onesie pajamas. Okay. So Jax basically calls this boys' night. He goes and plays hockey with who we just mentioned was like the darkest man alive, who's yelling at his daughter and saying fuck in front of her. And he said, and Jax says, I think I want to invite Kristen's ex-boyfriend to hang out on guys' night with her new boyfriend. And that other guy, that evil darkness, Jesse, goes, you would have, what did he say? Like, you would have to be an idiot to do that, or you would have to be an absolute child to do that. Like, don't do that, basically. And Jax is like, okay, I'll take that into consideration. Flash forward, obviously. He's like having a heart to heart with Kristen's new boyfriend, and the old boyfriend walks in. And this is why I say this is saving the Bravo universe, because flat cut to girls' night and we get a to be continued because of how heightened it gets between, because Brittany is like, oh, Kristen, I just wanted to tell you, like, this is such perfect TV. I love when people are professionals about this. She's like, oh, by the way, Kristen, I just wanted to let you know, because you're going to find out later, your ex is going to be at boys' night with your new boyfriend. And Kristen's like, oh my God, this is fucked up. And Brittany's like, well, what, don't you think it's you is fucked up because you're the one who wants us to not be friends with your ex-boy? And it's just like, no one is right, but the escalation is so fast. And then we see like some, I guess.
Okay. Some, so I know what's brought up.
You do?
Yes. And it's so funny. How do you know? It's so out of fucking left field. A Bravo by Gay's Instagram account. I see the sneak peeks for every episode. So it's okay, so
spoiler
crazy.
Spoiler ahead.
No, by the time this episode comes out, everyone will have seen.
Oh, you're right.
All
you're right.
Of our Bravo fans. So what was brought up is so out of left field. All of a sudden, Kristen's like, why? Because I said that Janet told me that she thinks Michelle is a racist and a Republican. Everyone goes insane. Matt, who's like, you know, the gay guy who I think is a homophobic actor. Talk about homophobic. Like, I think he is cosplaying as gay.
Yes.
And secretly an aspiring actor. He is like, she's like, Matt told me that. And Matt's like, I never said that. It's insane. Michelle calls Janet. Janet's like, I never said that. Kristen Doty is crazy. She's trying to like, I'm sick and pregnant. She's just trying to tear us down. Michelle does a great Republican statement where she's like, I am not racist and I'm not a Republican. And if I was, like, there are worse things to be.
Wait, is Michelle the one that's with Jesse?
Yeah, she's married to the toxic. They're going to get divorced. And
toxic? Well, maybe she'll have like a post-divorce like awakening moment where she at least becomes like a Marianne Williamson person.
Yes. Like, she becomes minimum. Marianne Williamson.
She's like the next Marianne.
We are all one bad breakup from like away from being wise and being Marianne Williamson.
I know.
Like, put me through the ringer and I will come out Glennon Doyle. I will rise from the ashes like Glennon Doyle.
I know. And it's like, I wish I was more of a con artist with my pain. Like, I really feel that way. Like, when I see these people on Instagram who are like, I'm selling like 3 virtual sessions to teach you how to like have a breathing orgasm. I'm like, I really wish that I like channeled my pain towards that instead of into like laying in bed watching a documentary about pedophiles and then crying. Right. And then being like, yeah. Why do I think the world is bad? Like, I just have a feeling that there's like dark forces here in this
world.
What
do you think is helping me think that the world is bad?
Can anyone offer? Okay. Anyone who's listening, number one, insight on who's the threateners to the United States security. Number two, insight on PMDD. Do I have it? What do I do? Number three, why do you think that I might think the world is bad?
Yeah, is there any evidence to support such a crazy thought? I want true
romance. This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's what's going down in the valley. And I'm so friggin' happy to have also like some Tuesday night TV, like to have it be exciting again is so nice. And then we have Thursday night TV, which is even more. Now, let me say this. I never thought, like Paige said this week, like, I never thought I would say this to Lindsay, but like, what did she even say? Like, I like
you. She was like, I feel bad for her.
Yeah. She's like, I never thought I would say this, but I pity you. But I never thought I would say this. I am on Lindsay's side this episode. Not in the grand scheme of things.
Right.
But I'm starting to feel like, I'm starting to have a feeling like Carl is playing the victim a little bit. Like he's constantly accusing Lindsay of that. But I'm like, you're kind of fake, dude. Like you're a little bit fake.
I completely know what you mean, especially in the aspect of like how, for instance, someone asked him, oh, did she apologize to you? And he was like, I can't remember her doing that. Like there is a little bit of like, ah, shucks, I just wish we could all get along.
Yeah.
But that being said, they obviously shouldn't be together. Lindsay's obviously nuts. He is, I mean, a 40-year-old who is a reality TV star. So he's on his own cuckoo journey. But why do you think this episode you had more sympathy for Lindsay?
Well, okay, this is what I'll say. So I think Lindsay is one. Remember that book we read like early on in the podcast called The Five Types of People who Will Ruin Your Life? And I think they're called High Conflict Personalities or like HCP. Like I do. Lindsay is that. She's a high conflict personality. We also know that she was like abandoned by her mom and like she has like serious trauma. And so,
I didn't know that. And that's very helpful. That's very informative.
That came up in like season one or two where she was like, I was like basically raised by my aunt because my mom like disowned me or something. She definitely has trauma. So it's like, okay, she has probably a personality disorder, also trauma, very untreated.
A little untreated. Bit of alcoholism.
Oh, hell yeah. Like she's so self-medicating. It's like sad and whatever. But I will also say, I now think the narrative, like this is what I'll say. When Amanda and Paige were sitting with Lindsay and being like, okay, because every time something is coming up, everyone is like siding with Carl now and being like, Lindsay's fucking crazy and whatever. And it's because she does get so activated. But I have been with men who are subtly damaging because they're maybe hiding something or not coping with something. And there's like the proof of that is something like an intimacy issue where she's saying like she and Carl don't have sex anymore. And I can imagine, I'm just projecting ideas. I have no idea, but there's a possibility where they have like serious sex issues. She can't really talk about that because men are so fragile about like their egos and sex and whatever. And she's angry because she knows there's like this like secret thing they're dealing with that he's not really dealing with. And it comes out in really dramatic ways for her because she doesn't know how to deal with it. And it comes out with her doing something as awful as like accusing him of being high. And then she's gone too far. And she's like, now I look like the fucking crazy one again. But he is also causing problems. This is what I'm saying is like, I feel like there is a possibility where her outbursts are just really hard to stomach. But they're coming, they're not coming from nowhere. And I feel right. like he's very like, and I said, like, let's have a conversation tomorrow. And like, I'll talk to my therapist and like, I'm going to Barry's and like, and I'm just not going to come on Fridays anymore. And it's like, then it's making her look crazier. So that's what I'm saying right now. Next episode, I could completely change my mind. I have no idea. I think she's very mean to him. I think even when she's being reasonable, like saying a sober sports bar is a bad idea, she says it in a way that's like kind of cutting and not very nice. I also think that he does seem to be like nice and caring towards her. I think they both like wanted to get married as a way to like sort of fix their life in a way. And they cared more about that than like their compatibility.
Right. I completely agree.
Yeah. Like it's like Kyle is so aimless and he's like he literally almost got fired from his best friend Kyle's company while he was sober for not doing a good job. Like he's clearly not like successful at whatever he's trying to do. And then he's like being like, oh, maybe I'll just like start a restaurant. It's like classic white man. Like idea of like, oh, like I remember, I won't say who, but one man I've dated was like, maybe I'll just start a restaurant. And it's like such a classic, like, oh, so the world has really not told you no enough if you think you can do that. And that's what I think of Carl right now.
It's interesting. Kyle, for the first time, even though he was slurring his words through this, was making sense to me when he was talking to Lindsay. And he was saying, I think Carl really wants to push this through. And I think that he's really excited by that. And Lindsay was like, you're saying he's more excited by that than the relationship. But in reality, it's the both of them. Like, she just wants to be married. He just wants to be married because it's doing something, you know? And these are people who probably don't do a lot except for, like, hope for a brand deal.
I did see a dark interview with Lindsay recently, like popped up on my feed of her on like Pop Crave or some bullshit. And it's like, she looks really unwell. I don't know if you've seen recent photos. Like she's lost a lot of weight and looks really unhealthy. And she is like talking about like, yeah, so I've been like working really hard. I'm doing a lot of influencer things. Like I'm doing a lot of the stuff that like Paige is doing. And it's like, this is sad.
It's not good.
But that is the career they strive for. So I'm like, maybe that's not sad. But I'm also like, whatever. So this week was definitely interesting where I felt for Lindsay, but I also felt like the way Amanda and Paige were approaching her was a little bit like mean girly of like, let's go like talk to her and be like, do you want to get out of this? And I'm like, you guys don't actually care about her. I also will say that I think Paige makes so much sense. Paige is like the most like secure attached person I've ever seen on a reality show where she's like, well, Craig and I are just having a lot of conversations that most people never have. And I think that's smart. Also, I've never seen two people looking hotter on a Bravo show than they looked at that Raceway party. I was like, you two do not even belong here. Like you belong somewhere else.
You belong in the moving pictures.
They belong in like old Hollywood, like
I really loved what she said about financial independence and how she had a boyfriend who basically said, like, when you pay for the plane tickets, then you can decide when to like fly because she had wanted to leave somewhere early. And she said in that moment, she decided like, I will never have anyone tell me where I can go and like when I can go and when I can leave somewhere. And I just really identify with like that feeling of I don't want to owe anyone anything. And I understand that like if you're going to be in a marriage with someone, if you're going to have a kid, like things can't be that clean. But I do love being financially independent. It's something that like I'm really proud of and took a long time. And I completely understood what she meant when she was like, I don't want Craig to pitch in on my rent because then he's going to think that like I owe him something.
Exactly. Now, as you say that, I think maybe I shouldn't be judgmental of influencers' careers because I am dependent on family members for financial stability and I wish I wasn't. But that's a whole nother.
No, you can be judgmental of influencers. That's just like a natural right.
No, you can actually just judge people for the same things you do.
No, of course.
It's actually pretty easy.
I do it all the time. I think it's sad that Sierra and West are probably not together anymore. West is a secret fuckboy.
Why do you think that?
I just have he has the energy. What?
I think you're right when you said that, but it made me think because I'm like, wait, I'm so swayed by him. Like, I like believe him.
Yes, because he's the kind of guy who is secretly getting all the girls. It's sad.
God damn it.
These are the guys we're up against. Because they're the kinds of guys that you're like.
This is making me sad.
I know. There was a guy in New York. Are you crying?
No. My makeup was running earlier and I never cleaned it off. I did cry earlier today and then I just never fixed my face. So that's why it looks like that.
I identify with crying earlier today. And I'm sorry that you did that. I am okay. Part of the community that cried earlier today.
Oh my God, that's really good. That should be on a sweatshirt.
Is it too late in our podcast journey to start our swag store? Probably.
Yeah, probably, I would say. Also, I want to say that the Summer House cast is the cast with the least amount of merch. Like, they like actually have one business, which is Loverboy. But think about like what the Real Housewives will put on a hat. It's like a phrase that you don't even understand from like 8 years ago. Or it's like Ariana selling like t-shirts that say I was born cool. It's like that was like the stupidest interaction. And
Lala Kent selling hoodies that say send it to Daryl.
Also, she was wearing a sweatshirt that says brand new. And like the rand in brand was capitalized.
Yes. It's from her tattoo. She had a tattoo that said rand. For Randall Emmett. Then she got brand new tattooed around it to make up for it after their breakup. Yeah, exactly.
So this is the thing is like, I hate that. And I can so easily see myself doing that. Like I can so easily see myself doing that. It actually hurts. Like it hurts me because of the amount of times I have almost gotten tattoos for these men that you wouldn't believe the men I've almost gotten tattoos for. Like you would not believe at in your wildest down my imagination.
Spine. I almost got it's a guy's really, name on my inner lip. That's scary.
That would actually be cool.
Not this guy.
Wait, which guy was it?
I don't want to say. It's the guy that I'm afraid will one day kill me. You know who.
Oh, I, of course it's him. Okay. Well, I'm glad. He's certainly glad you didn't do that. I have man's name on my body and it's Cookie.
I love that. It's the only name you won't regret.
Imagine I said, and it's Ronald Reagan. So.
I love you, Devin.
Oh, okay. Love you. Bye.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.